720 WGN. It is Dane here live in the Allstate Skyline studio in for John Williams until 3 p.m. today on a beautiful day kind of leading up into that 4th of July holiday. It's one of those kind of tweener weeks where you don't have a weekend to kind of either be on the front end or the back end. And the 4th of July is just kind of an island out in the middle of nowhere. And we're going to enjoy it. And some of those parades and fireworks and grilling. And we're going to talk about all of that stuff, including some other great issues and some very John Williams issues as well. So stay tuned for a lot of that. Some of the things we're going to have on the program today, we are going to talk some fireworks. We are going to have, some, and not just maybe the safety side of things. We know we have to be a little bit more than maybe a little bit minded on the safety side of it. But what people are doing, what you're doing, you know, what you're getting, what's exciting, and just kind of the lay of the land for the fireworks enthusiast or people who participate in it today as opposed to the past. I always love those stories, and we always kind of share it with the kids about, like, hey, this is the way we used to do it. And sometimes it's as crazy as, you know, you explain to the kids that the phone used to be attached to the wall and there used to only be one or two of them in the entire house, and they will say, well, that's stupid, why would you want to do that? Well, on the toy side, things are, you know, a lot different as well. You look at the, you know, lawn jarts and a lot of different things we were able to play with, and of course no helmets or seat belts. And now everything is a lot more safety minded. But when it comes to 4th of July, people still like to blow things up, see some, you know, sparks and explosions and smoke, and of course visit their local fireworks as well. So 312-981-7200. When we come back from our first break, we'll talk a little bit about it. We're going to be doing some of this stuff on the fireworks side. And I know that we've got, with, I think it's Crazy Kaplan's is one of the sponsors here that, they're just over the border. You see the signs. It's a sort of a deranged looking, well, certainly excited about something, individual on the billboards. And he is your personal fireworks expert. And so we'll talk a little bit about some of the places people go to get stuff. And then, of course, in Wisconsin, you know, there's places as well. But here in Illinois, you can't necessarily do it. But somehow, whether it's a couple days, I'm sure it'll be happening, you know, today and probably through the rest of the entire week, is you've always got that neighbor who's got almost what you would say professional fireworks. You know, they're up in the sky really high. It's exploding in sparks and multiple colors. And you're wondering, you know, where do they get those? Where do they get those? Are they safe? And of course, just the big boom as well. So 312-981-7200. You can text in your advice, where you get stuff, what you guys use, you know, or what you think is important that people should kind of have. And then also too, those cautionary tales, you know, safety first. And a little bit later on the program, we're going to talk with some experts about the safe side of fireworks. But if you've had any kind of mishap or something that had happened to you, or you heard about it, or a friend, where I think we can all kind of learn from it, right? To be a little bit more safe when it comes to fireworks. I mean, I remember, I don't know if we all had crazy friends, but I remember people, you know, lighting off fireworks while they held them in their hands or their teeth. You know, nothing necessarily happened that was really bad. And Elif, she's going to chime in as well when we come back from that first break. Her thoughts on fireworks, Violetta as well. I know Steve Bertrand has got some input on that in addition. And then 135. It's the kind of thing, it's almost a grilling holiday. Obviously, we're going to recognize, you know, our independence and 4th of July and everything that it means on the big side of things. But the way that a lot of us kind of participate and celebrate is grilling out. We're going to have Doug Saltis on. He's the owner of Bub City, and he is the founding father. If there was a Mount Rushmore for local Chicago barbecue events, he would be on it for Windy City Smokeouts. We're going to hear about some of the best barbecue people coming to town. Great country music, craft beer, all the kind of things that you love to experience in the summer. He'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on in July, and he's going to give us some advice from the mountaintop of the barbecue pitmaster. He'll fill us in on some things we should do and not do, and ways to make our summer grilling on the 4th of July as good as it can be. Coming up a little bit after that, 205 Professor Lawrence Officer. He's a professor of economics at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and he's going to be talking about the tariffs. You think about this. We hear in the news about how, you know, a lot of the relationships are getting shuffled, adjusted, some, you know, damaged, maybe some are improved, maybe in some areas of the world. But on the tariff side, especially when it comes to Canada, yesterday was Canada Day, which is a holiday there. I'm not super up to speed with exactly what it means, but it's a national holiday for Canada. It's also the day when all those tariffs kicked in. So Professor Officer is going to jump in here, kind of tell us what is going on with the tariffs, what it means to us, how we'll experience, and also what it doesn't mean. I think there's some things we'll be surprised about as far as maybe what won't be happening related to the tariffs. And there might even be some positive stuff on the presidential side, maybe some encouragement, right? Elif, you're thinking that he's got some ways that we should think maybe this, at least related to Canada, could be a good move.
I had the wrong mic, of course, because now we have two mics in the new studio, so
well, that's better,
it's
right?
Easy to confuse them.
Yep, two's one better than one.
But I think you're right. There is some, it's not all positive, but it's a more positive outlook on what's going to happen or what's happened. So
It's going to be some interesting input, and to have it on the economic side, too. You have those political pundits who say what it means maybe on the relationship side between the countries. That is definitely one thing. But then we'll hear on the dollars and cents side what it all means related to Canada and the tariffs. Maybe we'll get them to expand a little bit on that as well. And then at 2:35, Nikki Fleming, she's a spokesperson for the Consumer Product Safety Commission. She is going to be with us to talk a little bit about fireworks, safety, all those kind of things. She's got some interesting articles and press releases that we're going to be talking about. Some as much as we've been in and around the fireworks world, there's some new things coming out there, and she'll share that with us as well. And then coming up before the end of the program, we wanted to get this out here. Kevin Powell, of course, sports guru here at WGN Radio, is going to talk about LeBron James. You know, I think if we'll remember back as on the sports side of things, basketball fans, when he first left Cleveland to go off for greener and potentially more successful championship pastures and went to Miami to win a couple titles there, it was, you know, I think they burned him in effigy. They were really upset about this. How could he, you know, leave them? But he came back. I think he felt either obligated, and certainly it was something that he wanted to get done, and helped bring a championship back, the first one in many decades, back to Cleveland. Now, you know, after 4 years there, four finals and one championship, it looks as though he's decided to make a lifestyle change, and he's moved out to California. He's going to be part of the Lakers, one of those iconic franchises that has had so much success, and he'll be part of redefining what it is that they mean in the future. So Kevin's going to talk about that, and then we'll get into with this, because Aleph, before we came into the studio, said, well, what does this have to do necessarily with Chicago? Was he, you know, involved in Chicago? And I think really where it comes down to is we're getting into that territory where, and we always feel like, and I think a lot of basketball pundits, sports fans, you know, have felt for a long time that Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time, the GOAT. When it comes to basketball, you know, he had all of the talent in the world and the killer instinct to go with it. And then you've
and
got.
And what are you saying?
Well, this is where Kevin's going to, you know, he's going to give us, you know, from the Oracle, he'll give us his thoughts, because I think there's a point now where you saw, you know, Violetta, you saw it online and a lot of people talking, sports radio even, and even here on the station, where people are making a case for LeBron James as the greatest of all time.
People that aren't even basketball fans or follow the sport, such as, i.e. me, you know, I obviously it's a age-old question, you know, the comparison between the two.
Yeah, well, because think about this. If you're a little younger and you haven't necessarily lived through the excitement, you know, the trials, the tribulations of the Jordan years, it's just, you know, it's just kind of an old time. It's like Babe Ruth. Yeah, he was great, but could he be as great as the players today? Maybe not exactly the same, but sort of like that, right? Where you've got people who are experiencing LeBron now and his competition and think that, geez, he's got to be the greatest. I think this is a great debate, and we'll get Kevin's thoughts.
Chicago might be a little swayed, though.
Well, of course, because we have either lived through it or had lots of people tell us. But I think around, you know, there were a lot of teams. They didn't just win those championships by themselves. They beat every other team out there. And so even on the negative side, you know, fans of all those other teams, you know, had to deal with Michael Jordan and those Bulls teams. And Violetta, be sure that you're around, too, coming up after this break. We're going to talk fireworks. And I know that you're, you know, obviously a festive individual, and you want to get out there and showcase the explosive
side. I like those little popper things you throw at people's feet. Yeah. Well, I mean, we probably shouldn't throw them directly at their feet, but just a little scare.
We'll talk about safety, too, with that. So save it for the show. Don't give it all away. So when we come back, we're going to talk fireworks. We'll have everybody kind of chime in your thoughts as well. 312-981-7200. It's staying in for John here on 720 WGN. It's 720 WGN. It is Dane here in the Allstate Skyline Studios in for John Williams until 3 p.m. today. Aleph is in the booth playing some great bumper music, and we're going to get her to talk a little bit about some of her fireworks experience, or maybe avoidance, aversion, safety first, probably the right thing to do if you don't want bad things to happen, because it can, right, on the safety side. And so 312-981-7200. We've got a number of texts coming in here. We're going to get to some of those in just a second. But Aleph is, are you on the phone? Okay, so we won't do that. Here, we're going to go from the 847. I stocked up at Crazy Kaplan's about a month ago on a business trip to northern Indiana. Okay, so that's what you got to do. You almost have to make a pilgrimage. And we always know people. We've gone to, you know, all of them around the area, whether it's the ones just over the border in Wisconsin or in Indiana. And we have made, you know, kind of that way there occasionally when it's convenient. But there
You're driving by. You're like, I'll pick up a box.
A box of giant explosive missiles.
Yeah.
You know, the billboards that they've got, you know, because it's that kind of purchase, right? It's not something that anybody, I would think, need. It isn't practical like a gallon of milk. And it's sort of seasonal. These places are open all the time. And I know you can get in there and get stuff. But there are certain times a year when, just like candy for... Of course, you can get candy anytime, but in quantity for Halloween, is that when you're kind of lured into those places. So, Violetta, when you get a chance and you get in there, do you have things you're looking for? Or is it just you kind of walk around and whatever's got the brightest explosion-looking logo on the box?
Well, I don't actually buy them, but I do like looking at them. And it's one of those things where, just like you were saying with Halloween, you are allowed on Halloween to eat large amounts of candy without people judging you or necessarily getting in trouble. And same thing with the fireworks where... You know, around 4th of July and around summertime, it becomes almost okay to have them, even though it's not allowed.
Well, I wonder, too, because, right, you think just as you can see that there's, you know, giant explosions and things flying overhead and all that kind of stuff, that maybe the local authorities could also notice that kind of thing is happening. But I agree with you. I think you get a pass because at almost any time. No, otherwise, someone would call the police for some kind of noise ordinance, but you think this is all part of kind of celebrating the 4th of July and the festivities, but it isn't for everybody. You know, not everybody's excited about it. From the 630, please talk about noiseless fireworks. Fireworks are so detrimental to anyone with PTSD and the wildlife. And I know for us, our brother-in-law, he doesn't like fireworks at all. It's not that maybe he doesn't like them so much, but he stays away from them because his dog, you know, it gets really scared. I guess it's really traumatic for the dog to have the fireworks around, even with a thunder shirt, you know.
Yeah, for that 2-hour period on 4th of July night, it's just constant from all directions.
I actually just got a text from 847 saying people that complain about neighborhood fireworks on the 4th of July, take your dog on vacation if you must.
That's right. Or, you know,
but that's a bit different than PTSD.
Yeah. Well, you've got to think about it. And I had never even considered that there may be some kind of a correlation. But I think it's important to know. But just like anything, just like with the responsible, you know, ownership of the pet, and maybe make them feel as comfortable as possible. I know there's some things you can do. I don't think a thunder shirt would work for a person, but maybe just try to avoid it in whatever way that you could. I don't know that you can without some real effort. You certainly can't ask everybody to not participate. Here's one from the 847. And if anybody knows this, again, 312-981-7200. Is there a length of time that fireworks are good to use or safe? Because I know we've all found stuff in the garage that, you know, it's a few years old and you wonder, mostly you're concerned if whether it will work. Not necessarily.
Or if it's going to be delayed. So you're like, oh, it's not working. Let me go check on it. You know, you already lit it, but maybe it's a little old, so it doesn't go right away, or it's dying down. So you want to always steer clear. You don't want to go back to it and check on it or try to relight it or have a delayed response to the fire.
Well, we have, you know, the 5-second rule of food, right? And my kids, and it's so frustrating because I just tell them it's not really a rule and that the, you know, whatever it landed in is going to be on it, whether you wait 5 seconds or 1 second. But is there an acceptable amount of time that you wait before you go up and check to see if it's going to go off, right? Elif, what do you think? I mean, let's say it doesn't go off and then you're thinking, and let's say it's something that could...
I think I'd probably stay away.
Okay.
It'll go off if it goes off. Just leave it over there.
All right. Okay.
I'm not going to check on it, that's for sure.
I don't know, though. That might be the cause for a lot of these injuries, because they're saying that there was an article in Fortune that said that 70% of those firework-related injuries happen to men. Which I guess, no, 10% of the non-professional, and I'm telling you this out of memorization, it's that 10% of the individuals who,
men do it and
you
men get
it.
Hurt. That's what it is. Men light them and men get hurt.
Yes, but a surprising number of people are injured from it from non-professional use. Most of the injuries come from non-professional use.
Yeah,
of course.
And I've been to the stores, and I don't know that there is any. There may be a waiver form to sign. I don't even think there is, but I don't know that there's any kind of instruction. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. You just light it and kind of get away or get it as far away as possible.
But I don't know. I feel like you can do it wrong. I've never set off a firework, to be honest. But I do like watching them. And my favorite are those willow tree ones where they just...
Oh, well, now you're talking about the professional ones.
Yeah, but if you're driving down the Kennedy on 4th of July, they're all over the place.
Here's that statistic, by the way. And I love that willow tree sound effect that you just made. I think that's so accurate.
It's only
a slim 10% of fireworks displays are set off professionally, according to Fortune magazine.
Okay.
Well, so 90% of them are unprofessionally than people.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, and you mentioned this too, is that that traditionally, and I don't know if it's, you know, why is it men? Is it that men are more careless? Is there drinking involved?
Let's blow something up.
Yeah. Or is it something kind of, I don't know, like ancient and internal about the exploding of things that seems to appeal more to men? Steve, do you, you know, what are your thoughts on that as far as the whole, the fireworks thing? And then I wanted to get your thoughts too on just how it's changed. Cause I remember as a kid, we had lots of stuff and access to lots of stuff. And now you go to, let's say, Jewel, you know, and all you get is those smoky snakes and sparklers.
Well, I was in middle school. I had my own firecrackers, setting off firecrackers, right? You know, that would be, parents would go to jail now if their middle school or 12-year-old was playing with firecrackers. I mean, you used to set up firecrackers and blow up your little army men. You know, the plastic army men?
Yes.
That's just the way we played. So, yeah, it does. And I don't really care. I'm not comfortable with a lot of fireworks around the house now.
Right.
I used to grab some when I was in Wisconsin, or we just drove through Indiana, my son and I, yesterday. I didn't buy anything, but, you know, I would buy them, then they'd sit around, and we'd do it at the on New Year's Eve or something like that. But the idea of these big bottle rockets or shows like that, I don't care for that.
On the news side, did you ever report about it? Because you always think, regardless of where that you live, as long as you're in sort of an urban environment, there seems to be somebody, like a couple houses down, that you're wondering, like, where they got these. They're not quite the willow tree that they feel that I mentioned. But these are, like, professional things.
We're having a party at our house. This has probably been 15 or 16 years ago, and people in the next block over were setting off, like, mega bottle rockets, you know, not professional but bigger than typical, and one landed on our house, you know.
What?
So I had to walk over there and say, hey, look, we're trying to have a party here. Stop firebombing us.
And depending on how, you know, what the rain situation is, it could light it on fire. Well, right. So you get to experience that, even if you're passively experiencing it because the neighbors are doing. But then also we had some callers call in about what do you do if it doesn't necessarily work for you. We've got a family issue with that, with you know, the dog that doesn't like it. And we've got Gail on the line from the 630. Gail, talk a little bit about how you I guess escape the whole fireworks, at least the noise of it.
Yeah, my dog was afraid of fireworks. So I lived in Warrenville, and what I used to do every 4th of July is put the dog in the car, cuz he liked driving the car, and I used to drive to DeKalb, and in the meantime, as I was driving, I used to see every town's fireworks. And
isn't that the best?
Sorry?
Isn't that the best? You can just watch them and not really be part
yes.
of it at all.
Yes, and I would see the all of the fireworks, and my dog, we couldn't hear any of them. And I used to drive to DeKalb Oasis, which took about an hour or an hour and a half. They turn around, and I would drive back home, and then there were other fireworks, and by the time I got home, it was over. And the dog went in the house, I went in the house, everybody had a good time.
See, that's kind of a happy medium where you get to experience at least the visual side of things. You get to see a lot more
yes.
than maybe people see if they're just sitting
yes.
in one place, and then the dog's happy
yes.
too. That's great. Gail, thanks so much for calling and sharing
sure.
that.
Sure.
All right, you bet. All right, well, we're going to take a break, and we come back, we're going to send it to news. And after that, some of the most exciting things happening in people's backyards is barbecue coming up on the 4th of July. And certainly, if you love barbecue, you're going to love Windy City Smokeout. Doug Salt is from Bub City is going to join us. But quick break right now. It's Dane here for John on 720 WGN. WGN, it is Dane here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop 303 Wacker in for John Williams until 3 p.m. today. And Violetta, of course, people are calling in 312-981-7200 with their fireworks advice. suggestions, questions, cautionary tales, everything related to it. And here's the thing it said is if it doesn't go off, soak it with a hose. Don't go and check on it. So there you go. Just get one of those hoses from the late night infomercial, spray about 150 feet and you're good to go.
And don't pour your adult beverage right over it.
Yeah, you don't want to waste the adult beverage. There you go. So now it's just the hose. When it comes to excitement, the 4th of July is going to bring a lot of that in the form of fireworks for sure. But some of the most exciting things are going to happen, at least from my perspective, you know, at the Grill, and then later on this month, some of the best in the business, whether it comes to country music and certainly barbecue from around the country, are going to be here for Windy City Smokeout. The man behind it all is also the man behind our beloved Bub City. Here it is, Chef Doug Saltis. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Great to be back. Seems like we get together every year about this time.
Well, when you keep throwing the biggest, best party in the country when it comes to barbecue, craft beer, and music, you're going to get people wanting to talk to you about it. So congratulations on the success of the event. It is amazing, and it's just right around the corner.
Yeah, no, it is. It's just been fantastic to be part of and watch it grow. And, you know, we've been together doing this since the first year when we had a small parking lot down right behind Nordstrom's, and now along the river, and just watching it grow every year and the way people receive it and the attraction we have from the best pitmasters in the world, the music we do. And, you know, this year we're fortunate to be nominated for Country Music Festival of the Year, and I think our beer game's stronger, our barbecue game's stronger, and our music keeps getting better. So much fun.
Yeah, people love it, and love it in quantity. Yeah, you look at the difference when it was just that parking lot off of Illinois. And when you look at that parking lot now, it doesn't seem like a small parking lot, but when you look at what it's grown into, it is crazy. And for people who love barbecue, and I don't know who doesn't, let's talk a little bit about this. Is you really do? We've got a strong barbecue game here in the city, and certainly they're represented with, you know, Barry from Smoke and a lot of different places from the city. But how is it that you got that you're pulling in all of these nationally? No, these are the best in the business coming to Chicago.
You know, we try and take care of our barbecue team the same way we take care of our guests. You know, make it the best festival for them, and it's been, you know, the first couple of years have been hard. You know, getting on the phone, trying to call people, trying to convince them who we are, and you know, since that, they kind of take care of themselves. They call us and kind of ask to be involved, and we get a chance to check them out. So it's been, every year it gets easier and easier, and we just keep attracting better teams. So very exciting. We have some cool stuff this year. You know, we have some, you know, we're going to kick off happy hour on Friday with Japanese barbecue, right? So a good friend of mine, Hisato-san from Tokyo, he is the Wagyu Mafia, right? He's pretty much the Wagyu Master of Japan. Tours around the world kind of. No, it's crazy. Got to check this guy out. Tours on the road, kind of just talking about Japanese beef, and he's going to kick off the whole thing, like this Japanese robot barbecue thing to start off. And then we have the legends, right? The Myron Mixons, the Mike Mills, and bringing up to Chicago for the first time, Wayne Mueller from Louis Mueller Barbecue.
Yes.
All like three or four generation guys. So with the heartbeat of Texas, you have the Southeast, and you have the Midwest barbecue all together. And they're going to do this class on Saturday morning, and they'll do a little bit of a pop-up dinner on Saturday night, where some of that stuff will be available to guests when they show up, just limited quantities. And then you have the new kids involved, the guys who learn from these legends who are now doing this crazy, all sorts of kind of barbecue from down in Austin, Texas. You have Leroy and Lewis and Houston with Patrick Fez, and then, you know, Brooklyn's own Billy Durney coming in from hometown.
Nice.
And home team from South Carolina. It's incredible, you know. So the menu's spectacular. You know, it hits everything across the board. You know, Uban's doing this smoke up barbecue portobello sandwich, which should be interesting. Yeah, Little Miss Barbecue back again from Phoenix, who's planning on doing like their kind of smoked salmon they do in the shop, which is like incredible. So really cool stuff.
Yeah, and Martin's Barbecue, really? Of course, for those people that have made that kind of road trip pilgrimage down there, they're just killing it. And, you know, one of the very best, obviously, as well. I mean, it's just Fox Brothers. You have had so many great.
Who not to talk about? You know, Fox Brothers bringing their bologna sandwich. I can't wait for that. Sam Jones from North Carolina. You know, like you said, Pat Martin. Like, I mean, it doesn't sound Uban's, Hagapalooza, Salt Lick from Texas. The hill country, you know, it's like, who don't we have? You know, it's just dramatic to see the wealth of these guys' talent and success, and having them around us is just incredible.
It is. It is. And it's so great, because if there wouldn't have been you, and of course, you know, the folks at Lettuce, and we, you know, and a lot of the people that have gotten on board, and of course, you'll be the first one to say that it's a team. But if you don't necessarily do this, I don't think it's happening. There is absolutely, it's not happening and happening to this extent. So kudos to you for all of that stuff. But here's the other thing about it. You know, a barbecue event is great, and this one is outstanding, one of the best, if not the best. But also, you've paired it with craft beer, and more now, you know, Chicago has been a great place for craft breweries and all that, and well represented, certainly the area too, some of those great ones from Michigan and, you know, and the surrounding areas. Well, talk about the craft beer.
Well, that's one of the things, you know, when you say, hey, if it wasn't for me, if it wasn't for a lot of people, right? The craft beer is, you know, incredible. You know, we had, you know, Jared Rubin from Moody Tongues, it's the first day. Yep. We have local Tony from Local Option. You know, Kyle Tagurski selects all our beer guys. We have over 25. This year we have this Reckman's Worst. We're doing this brat stand in the middle of some house-made brats and some great ones from Usinger's and this beer brats from out in Rames. Just fabulous stuff. And then they're going to do a rotating, like this beer that's like one keg per. So not only are we attracting the best Midwest beer, now these guys are brewing stuff just for the festival, like one-offs, like one little things, one keg of this, one keg of that, that they're sharing with us. And we're going to do in this rotating tap right in the center of the whole barbecue area. So the beer gets better. We pour more of it. And we do our best to kind of make sure it's the best festival for them as well, give them their spot. You know, there's a bond between the brewers and the pitmasters, you know. And on that note, you know, Against the Grain from down in Louisville, they're coming up, and they're gonna be smoking and selling the beer. So it's incredible.
Here's the thing, too. You got really great places like, you know, Bell's and Founders and Moody Tongue, you mentioned, Jared, Goose Island, they'll all be, even Budweiser for those traditionalists that just want something simple to wash things down with. Bud will be in full effect.
Well, Shiner is the deal. You know, Shiner's rolling everywhere. They have a huge thing in the middle of it, just kind of kicking up that Texas style. So we have everything, right? You know, hey, halfway through the day, I'm crushing all those beers, then I'm going to have a couple craft brews here and there.
Here's the thing. There is no, I don't think there's an event out there that combines, this is an absolute world-class barbecue event with, you know, some of the stars, a lot of the stars, most of the stars of the barbecue world. And then you had mentioned that you were up for Country Music Festival of the Year. And you look at this because here's the thing. I'm a food guy, obviously, and so are you, but obviously, you know, love the music side too. I go there for the food, and I'm blown away by that. But you, the crowds, the serious size crowds you guys get for that music lineup.
Well, I think that's all due to Eddie Warm, you know. Every year it's bringing in who's next. You know, having Maren Morris there a couple of years ago, having Chris Stapleton there on a Sunday, having Brett Eldridge in the beginning and bringing him back this year, Luke Combs last year. You know, it turns out, you know, once again, one of the up-and-coming artists we have is the number one song in the country, Kane Brown, who's like, it's just a whole different take on country. So, yeah, it just keeps... And it surprises me how many the crowd knows. You know, I'm like, hey, I love six of these bands. The crowd's here for the 3 o'clock band. The crowd's there for the one at 4 o'clock. They're like, this is incredible.
It's just watching
that grow and watching. It's amazing.
On the concert side, right, then you've got the amazing food on the other side as well. WindyCitySmokeOut.com. You can get all the information on the lineup, the beers, the tickets for sure, obviously the tickets. And so how does it work for the tickets? What is it when you get in? What do you get? You get the music. I'm sure it's included. How does it work?
Yeah, so, with Cassius, which is great, it's really been a huge improvement. Our second year doing that. So when everybody gets their ticket, you get a wristband that you can directly attach to your credit card or put money on it, and then just simple purchases from there.
And so WindyCitySmokeOut.com is the website for all the information about the lineups and everything and the tickets. We're going to take a quick break, and I know coming up to the 4th of July, this is where, you know, everybody is kind of a barbecue pit master, grill master in their backyard when it comes to 4th of July. And, you know, you can kind of give some inspirational insight into not only people want to know what it is that you're doing, obviously, and then also maybe a couple tips or something here and there. So, Doug, if you could hold tight for just a minute, we're going to take a quick break. It's Dane here in for John on 720 WGN. WGN, it is Dane here in for John, the Allstate Skyline Studio. And on the line with us, we're going to have him back. And it is the man behind Windy City Smokeout, already, you know, one of the, if not the best country music festival in the country. And I would say, I would contend, having attended many, it is the crown jewel of barbecue festivals in our country going today. But, coming up on the 4th of July, and everybody's backyard is kind of your own Windy City Smokeout. And Chef Doug Saltis, of course, of Bub City, is on the line with us. Doug, welcome back.
So, 4th of July, right?
Well,
4th of July, we're all hanging at home, or somebody else's, but just all around the grill, we know that, right?
Yeah, we're all around the grill. Now, do you have it? Just kind of set the stage for us, because, you know, there's a lot of people that think Doug probably has some amazing space-age setup or some kind of huge trailer thing in his backyard. Do you have just a regular grill, or do you have the accoutrements of barbecue success going on?
No, so what I have at home, you know, I live downtown in Chicago, so I have one quick gas grill that I use for, like, quick things during the week. And then on my rooftop, I have a Weber, right? A simple Weber, the round ones. And so if I'm smoking, I'm not doing briskets at home for 18 hours. I'm not doing whole pork butts or shoulders. I'm going to do some fun, simple stuff, right? I'm going to do some chicken legs, some ribs, maybe like a split open chicken. Real simple, easy things that I get my temperature that I can hold around 225, 250. Maybe 275, season up my ribs or chicken 45 minutes before, kind of lay them on there, close the lid, let a little bit of air in the bottom, a little bit of air off the top, and on a nice day like today, you know, we're going to be eating the chicken in 45 minutes to an hour. We're going to be eating the ribs in, you know, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, nice and slow like that. You know, that's the easy stuff you're doing at home, you know? And 4th of July, for me, we want to be grilling, having a fun time, cooking some food, but it's about spending time with the friends and family, and rather pay more attention to that sometimes, just put on some simple, easy things.
And now, is there is there any kind of, a lot of times people will say it's do as much prep as you can. You mentioned, of course, you got friends and family, want to spend time with them, don't want to spend the entire afternoon toiling at the grill. What kind of prep, or do you do any marinades to get things kind of ready to go beforehand?
No, that, you know, the one thing I would do is, you know, hey, I'd make all my salads, cold salads, a corn salad, potato salad, those type of easy things. So you can just pull them out of the fridge and put them out. You know, I make sure I have my sauce, if I'm going to, you know, create my own barbecue sauce and spend all that time in the morning, or I'm going to doctor up one it's kind of my favorite. I have all that ready, so that's ready to go and easy to put out there. And then I'll make a rub, right? And, you know, the one thing that's universal, you know, non-negotiable rub is salt. The rest, it's whatever you like or whatever you got. You know, so cracked black pepper or cayenne, mustard powder, you know, a little bit of cumin, a little brown sugar sometimes. So, you know, for me, I'm simple. I'm going to crack some black pepper and a little bit of salt. I'm going to rub my chickens with a little bit of crushed garlic, season it simply, let it sit for 45 minutes, and then just a nice slow smoke. You know, the one thing I do that on the chicken that is the head start for me, I kind of make some incisions or cut along the bone of the leg and the thigh on both sides so that, you know, the heat can penetrate the dark meat faster and allow it to kind of cook at the same time as the breast will. So we have a great, you know, crispy, smoky, juicy bird.
Hey Chef, can you take a couple questions from the listeners? They've got just some, a couple questions for
you. Sure.
All right. So let's see. We're going to do this one. So we've got Sue on the line. Sue, you're on with Chef Doug Saltis from Bub City. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yes, I just wondered, Chef, what your opinion is on, like, you know, they have these late night advertisements for these copper grill mats and so on. You know, is that a good idea or safe, or how well do they really work? I guess I just wanted your opinion on that. Thank you.
On the copper grill mats?
Right.
Well, I've never used those, and for me, I you know, I keep it real simple. You know, I haven't had any problems with the grill and doing that open flame yet, so I kind of keep it simple. You know, one thing I like to do is just, you know, when I get started on a new day of grilling, I like to kind of make sure my grill is clean. I wash it like I do a pot, you know, a pan or something like that. So that's something I try and take care of. You know, it's just like a saute pan. If you don't clean it after each use, it's probably not as good. So I like to kind of make sure when I'm cooking, I'm grilling on a clean grill.
Great. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thanks.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Sue.
Thanks. Happy 4th.
I appreciate it. So here's the thing. I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about the opportunity. Windy City Smokeout once a year. It happens. The world converges in your backyard. Obviously, that's a very exclusive Windy City Smokeout. But Bub City itself, you guys are there. That is one of the great and most plentiful opportunities to see you and your team in action. Talk about Bub City, the location. Give it out and what kind of fun and very delicious things happen there every day.
Well, we got two Bub Cities now. We got the one out in Rosemont that's attached to Joe's Live, which is just like one of the best music theaters in the Chicagoland area. And then right in the heart of River North, we have the original Bub City that we opened up, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. I'm hard with time to tell. But, you know, both of them are just to give you a sneak peek of what the Smokeout is all about. great barbecue. It's a fun time. Amazing beer. Great country music. So, you know, the Bub Cities are where we go for, you know, our Friday nights. It's where we go for all our late night parties after the smokeout. It's really, you know, it carries on a tradition. It's kind of where the smokeout was born out of.
Yeah, and Windy City Smokeout is grand in the river. WindyCitySmokeout.com is the place to go to get all the information on the lineup and tickets and everything like that. And of course, see Bub City. You can go to Bub City out there in Rosemont with Joe's. That place, that venue is great if you want to hear music and of course, some great stuff out in that kind of Rosemont Entertainment Complex. And, of course, here in the city as well. Well, best of luck with everything with the smokeout. I know it is going to be great. We can just hope for great weather for it. We know that the food and the music are taken care of. And last, very last thing, Doug, is what do you do for, we're effing everybody, kind of share what they do for fireworks. Do you guys do any fireworks? Did you grow up with fireworks? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I grew up on Long Island in New York, so we used to buy, you know, mats of jumping jacks, MADs, storm and garbage cans, stuff like that. So I'm kind of now I kind of sit back and just watch the colorful stuff, you know, so it's a little bit, you know, it was more frowned upon when I grew up. So now I sit back, I watch somebody else do it. I'm happy I got all 10 fingers.
Yes.
And so watch. Yes, you blow stuff up, Dane?
No, well, you know, here's the thing. So, I mean, I remember as a kid we had, you know, we had some relatives that would come over with stuff, right? They'd have the M80s and the things like that.
Yeah.
So I never really had the direct pipeline to the to the product, right? And I was a kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there was always crazy people from the neighborhood that would either hold the bottom of the firecracker and just light it. And
wow.
Then like,
yeah.
Or in their teeth, people would do that. I never had anybody get hurt, at least in front of me. But you could see how that kind of stuff could happen. And now you go, the kids, you know, it's those snakes that just kind of stain the sidewalk and sparklers. And at this, and I've gotten, this is how whippified the whole situation has gotten now as a parent of three little kids. Just the thought of them, you know, running around like we did in the backyard with a red hot molten metal sparkler just seems kind of scary too. I don't know.
Yeah, no, we used to have Roman candle fights and stuff like that. Nowadays, I just don't see that stuff anymore. It's like, you know, now everybody's on their phones and playing video games.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, you got to leave the danger behind. You got to move forward. You have the people clamoring for all the stuff on the barbecue side, and it is in good hands with you. And, Doug, thanks so much for jumping on today. Excited about the fest this year.
Yeah, always great talking, man. I'll see you soon.
All right, we'll see you soon. All right, so that's it. Windy City Smokeout, I cannot say enough. And, of course, as we get a little bit closer, we'll have some of those famous pitmasters on. We will have some tickets to give away, I'm guessing, right, for the listeners. We do pretty much every year. And on the fireworks side, we've got a ton more people kind of adding their text in. I'll read a couple of them right now. 312-981-7200 if you want to call in or text in your advice. And it doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, any one thing. We've had kind of the range of you know, supportive on the fireworks side. Here's where you get them. Here's what we experience, and then also some of the cautionary tales. Here's some bad things that have happened, and here's some things we've worked through. So from the 773, somebody had started a fire in their yard one year, not very thoughtful for listeners to implore others to take their dog out of town. Yeah, okay, so that's one thing. Not everybody can do that. And then the 224 said non-professional fireworks set off by people in the neighborhood should be illegal. And I'm wondering if, because it seems like, and Violetta, you mentioned it, is that people just kind of look the other. I don't know if they look the other way or everyone just understands it's kind of the part of the situation. But I don't know that I've ever seen, you know, police.
It just seems more acceptable during the holiday, which you wouldn't set off the firework just whenever.
Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. You'd get in some, probably some serious, or people would think something was wrong. You know, maybe there was, you know, some other kind of explosion, a gas leak or something. I'm thinking there may be a certain amount of actual things that do go wrong that people pass off as fireworks during this time of year. Let's say there was an explosion or something, right? And they're thinking, hey, it's just the 4th of July. From the 815, and we did get a couple on this, I was just going to say, which is saying about PTSD in animals, plus the police having to go on calls, is there a reason why they're illegal? I wonder that. 312-981-7200. Is it that Illinois just has, you know, just like different states have laws related to guns or other things, is why Illinois' law is so different than let's say Wisconsin or maybe Indiana? Maybe it's because more of an urban environment. Maybe it's because of fire risks. You know, I'm not really sure. And so here's from the 630. No, they should not get a pass. I don't mind them shooting off fireworks the week before and the week after, but it's getting earlier and earlier every year, and it upsets my dog, and it's starting to anger me. So here's the thing, too, is... I think people do realize, especially when you have the 4th of July being this holiday that's kind of out on an island, just one day, it's not the whole thing, is that, you know, people buy a lot of fireworks. You can't necessarily get them all done. Okay, so then let's go to this. Oh, okay, listen to this. This is on the animal side, too. Got a lot of animal lovers here in WGN, as we should. And Gwen, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I have a neighbor that keeps a sign in his window year-round. It said, please be courteous of explosives. There is a war vet that lives here. He keeps a sign in the window year-round. So, and then also to add to it, I also agree with you on the pet situation, and I also, every year, not to get off on another topic of the fireworks, but you always hear about in the news that somebody's taken a dog or a cat and tangled them up with some fireworks in the alley. And I guess it is good that the police are out and about.
Yeah, you wonder what it is they're doing. And if anyone does have advice, you know, we've gotten a number of different calls and texts about the animal situation, how they don't necessarily like it. But if anybody has any advice on that outside of just driving them away, but because we've had friends or relatives that maybe there's like a sedative or something that kind of relaxes the dog that makes him feel a little bit better. And then of course you've heard the thunder shirt, you know. That's
what I usually do is I have a dog and a cat, and I make sure the air conditioner's on, the windows are shut, and I turn on the radio. it's a distraction. They'll hear the noise in the background, but then again, they'll hear the nice, not a rock and roll station. As a matter of fact, I keep you guys on, so
nice.
They have something nice to listen to, but it works.
All right,
from what I see.
WGN, Danielle here in the Allstate Skyline studio until 3 p.m. in for John Williams today, and we're talking about some of the things leading up to the 4th of July, a little bit of the festivities on the barbecue side and the fireworks side and all the kind of things that we enjoy. But, you know, so many of those things have to get from point A to point B, and oftentimes they come from someplace else, sometimes someplace else in the world. And so more of that on the whole tariffs and trade side has become something that we've been kind of dealing with, hearing about in the news in a bunch of different ways, and what it means and what it doesn't mean when it comes to Canada. Our typically, I think, warm and friendly relationship with Canada has been adjusted in some ways based on the tariff side of it. And a guy that's going to help us negotiate and navigate some of the things about what it is and what it isn't is on the line with us. Excited to have Professor Lawrence Officer. He's the economics professor at University of Illinois at Chicago. Professor, welcome to WGN.
Glad to be on your show, Dane.
So think about this. The tariffs went in, it was Canada Day. I'm not sure who picked that day or why that was the one, but they went into effect at 12:01 on Sunday. That's yesterday. This, on the consumer side and economics and just the way that the business engines work, probably today is the first day that it's really affecting people. And so if you want to break down a little bit, like what does it mean? Is it that big a deal, the situation with Canada?
As far as the overall U.S. economy is concerned, it's not that big a deal. $12.5 billion worth of U.S. goods subject to these higher tariffs. You're talking about the U.S. having virtually a $20 trillion economy. It's really no big deal in the big picture.
And symbolically, and I think before we were kind of teasing the fact that we were going to have you on, a lot of times the news programs kind of say, well, what does it mean and how does it affect, you know, our relationship or maybe the politics side of things? But so economically, it's not that big a deal. Does it matter, the politics, or just how it looks, the optics between the two world leaders?
I'd say it's part of a bigger picture. Trump is putting his own brand on international relations, and he doesn't seem to make too much distinction between traditional friends and traditional unfriends.
When you think about the different products that are involved, the steel, the aluminum, and the way that we kind of work together on some of those in NAFTA. Are those the products that are involved? I know my wife works with a juice company, and so they're already changing their pricing and pricing schedules based on the way that things are going to change a little bit on the orange juice side going back and forth from Canada. So talk a little bit about which products are mostly involved and infected, and then the industry side of things.
As far as the Canadian retaliatory tariffs on us are concerned, they have a 25% tariff on steel and iron. And these are more industrial products, right? You don't go to the grocery store and buy some steel or buy some iron. But Canada has a 10% additional tariff on a whole bunch of consumer products. Ketchup, pizza, dishwasher detergent, sleeping bags, yogurt, whiskey, some very obscure products. And I think American consumers will suffer a bit from the industrial tariff end, but might benefit from the tariffs on the specific consumer goods.
We're going to get into some of the specifics on this when we come back with you. Hey, Professor, we've got to take a quick break. We've got a little bit of an echo and a technical issue, so we're going to handle that, and we'll come back with you right after this break. It's staying here on 720 WGN. We have Professor Lawrence Officer from the University of Illinois at Chicago. Professor, welcome back. Hopefully we've got some of the – hey, this actually sounds pretty good. We've got some of the phone stuff set. Do you happen to know where fireworks are imported from on the tariff side? And, you know, in kind of a current events issue related to the 4th of July, is that going to affect us?
No, I don't. But you made an interesting point when we began. The reason that the Canadian tariffs are imposed effective yesterday is that July 1st is Dominion Day, which is the Canadian equivalent of 4th of July.
Now, do they do, and you seem to have your hand on the pulse of many things Canadian, do they celebrate in the same ways? Is it fireworks, or they celebrate, you know, in other ways? Or, I mean, are fireworks sort of a thing that the Canadians do on that day as well?
Being a Canadian by birth, it's quite similar to the 4th of July.
Nice. All right. And then what is it? Because this is when we were looking at this and my wife was telling me about it, it's Canada Day. It isn't necessarily, she said, and she could be completely wrong. We'll defer to you, of course. But she said that that it wasn't because it wasn't independent. So what is it? Like, what would be the American equivalent to Canada Day?
I'd say it was when the 13 colonies combined, the ex-colonies, and started the U.S. of A. Canada Day, I do recall, was when the provinces got together and formed the Dominion of Canada.
Okay.
The Dominion. 1867.
Nice. Okay, so we're getting a little bit of a well, you're a professor, so that's what we expect, a little bit of a history lesson to go with our current events. And while we were trying to get you back connected, we talked about the importance. You said it wasn't necessarily that big of a deal as far as hitting us in the pocketbooks. And I had brought up something that was there where you look at some of the industries that you think you're helping by, you know, working in and around the tariffs to help support, you know, local, maybe indigenous industries, whether it's in the metallurgy or coal or any of those kind of things. But really what it hurts is it hurts the industries that use those products. So oftentimes those jobs, when they would use to create products here in America, they use those raw materials that they get other places, right?
You're 100% right. The more important effect will be not on our consumers, but on the workers and, of course, the business owners of the affected industries.
When it comes to a trade war, and, you know, Canada is one, and you've got that unique perspective on that, and that's one of the topics here. Where does it go from here? Because you had Prime Minister Trudeau come out and say, and one of the things wasn't necessarily, we've got to figure a way to work this out. He's come down sort of on a hard line, and that seems to be the way that President Trump deals with a lot of things as a hard line. We've got to stand up. We feel like we've got to stand up to America. We won't get pushed around. So where do you see this going down the road? Do you see this being resolved, or do you see somebody backing down and things getting kind of readjusted? What's going to happen?
Rationally, a country like Canada or Mexico should back down, because if we're talking about an equivalent amount of goods on which these extra tariffs are imposed, $12.5 billion in the case of Canada, it hurts Canada a lot more than it does us. So rationally, Canada should back down.
And so when do you think that will happen? Do you have any kind of insight, a gut feeling, tea leaves, a crystal ball that says, what kind of the time frame is this? Or do you think, and you mentioned it wasn't really, it's more of a symbolic thing. Is this just going to be the new normal? Or do you think that, you know, somebody's got to back down? You mentioned either Canada or Mexico in those situations, that at some point in maybe, is it a year, 6 months, where they'll kind of feel extra pressure and have to do something?
I think it may have to do with the NAFTA negotiations. Resolving this retaliatory tariff situation probably would be taken care of in the context of NAFTA, which Trump apparently doesn't want to get into until after the midterm elections.
You brought up elections, and you think of NAFTA, and of course Mexico's in the part of that conversation. And we had a change in leadership down there in Mexico, and the president apparently offered up some kind of congratulatory tweet or message saying that he looks forward to working with, and he wasn't really able to get a lot done on the whole, at least the symbolic let's do this wall and you can pay for it, and what was such a big part of the campaign kind of platforms. Do you see with the leader that's in place now, do you see things changing in any way on the economic side and maybe resolving some of this? Is this an easier person to work with, in your opinion?
I don't think so. He's sort of leftist-leaning, right? And this is quite a major change for Mexico. And in a certain extent, it's still for Canada, too. So each of them has to show, what shall we say, their macho qualities. And Trump, of course, is Mr. Macho. So it might take a while to get resolved, but it will be resolved.
And one of the things we did want to ask as well is, this is in the news right now and these tariffs have gone into effect as far as, Canada and on the NAFTA situation, talking about that. When it comes to the real big picture, the thing that undeniably is a huge deal for the United States, for the consumer, so many products here. And then, of course, our ability to be that marketplace for so many things that are created in China as they attempt to kind of ascend that economic ladder into being one of the, of course they're one of the dominant countries, but they want to be the economic power if they can be. So talk about that. That's a little bit more of a kind of like a bigger confrontation as far as what's going to happen there, and I think some serious consequences, more than just the symbolic, could happen with the China situation. I know, I'm sure you talk with students and I'm sure they ask about it, and you're a student of the passing scene, of course, right? Like all of us, kind of taking it all in. What are your thoughts on the China situation?
You've hit the nail on the head. This is much more serious, potentially serious. After all, we don't have an ongoing relationship with China that we do with Canada and to some extent Mexico. China's not a traditional friend, at least since the communist government, which goes back quite a few decades. Yeah, this is serious. China is even more macho. I mean, you have a guy in China, President Xi, who really is effectively a dictator. And so he will stand up for China. I don't think China's going to back down. So I think that's potentially very, very serious. And we're talking about, this is very serious. But again, Dane, the trade we have with China is more important to China than it is to us.
So ultimately, right, who's going to be buying all of those Chinese products if it isn't us? And so ultimately, I think that they understand that, right, too. Now, here's the thing that I always thought, and if you've got a viewpoint on this, this would be, I think, interesting to hear. Is it just seems really unique with President Trump, with his relationship with some of these leaders, and then also the things that maybe the administration is doing on the policy side. Sometimes they're not the same, because you can look at, he has, you look at these threats and they're huge, right? $200 billion if they don't do this, and then another $200 billion as far as the tariff side with China. But yet, when you ask him personally about his relationship with Xi Jinping, he seems to admire him a great deal. He seems to depend on him for some of the things that they were able to do that actually brought North Korea to the table. It seems as though there's a disconnect based on like how he feels about the relationship that he maybe has with that president or leader than maybe the policies that are going on with the country. Is it that whole it's just business kind of thing where he's able to kind of separate what's going on between the relationship and then he thinks or what he feels has to be done on the policy side?
Well, that's a very good point. Again, we should reverse the conversation. I asked the questions. That's a good question. There's no good answer. Clearly, the U.S. relationship with China is complicated. We are partners in trade. To some extent, we're partners in trying to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. But we are competitors when it comes especially to high-tech goods, exporting high-tech goods. And that's the real deal. And Chinese involvement in obtaining our technology is also a big deal. And if Trump is rational, I think he is, these are the two big deals for him. He's a deal maker. But China becoming number one in high-tech industries,
And that is quite something. That is the future. Trump wants to protect stuff like steel industry, aluminum. That's small potatoes. Big potatoes are driverless cars and artificial intelligence and fast computers, et cetera, et cetera.
I want to let the listeners know that we are talking with Professor Lawrence Officer. He is an economics professor at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And here's the other thing I want to know. It's a luxury to have you on to get some of the insight into this, especially on the economics side. And you look at the G8 and that summit just happened, and I think everybody would agree, at least from a public relations side, it was a complete disaster. You know, just the way that there was this dismissal of our traditional allies, right? Everybody felt kind of, it didn't, you know, there wasn't a big kind of kumbaya moment and everybody getting together. And it seemed, even if you looked at it as maybe there are some positive things that you could pull out of it, maybe personally or establishing some sort of dominance over the situation, it just didn't kind of go, it didn't seem like a friendly, comfortable situation. And in the end, President Trump had mentioned, and I don't know that anyone asked him this, but he's like, you know, Russia should be participating in this. And I think for people who've paid attention, they were kicked out of it based on some of the activities that they, you know, had in the Ukraine, or, you know, some of those where they had taken over some other countries on the battle side, and everybody was upset with that, right? And they got kicked out. That's one of the things you can't necessarily do. But on the economic side, which is your wheelhouse, is Russia an economic? I heard somewhere that Russia's economy is like half of what even just California is. And when was the last time you picked up a product and you think of China as the exact opposite, and you looked at it and it said made in Russia? I mean, are they really an economic power at all?
No, China has a total output, what we call GDP, about the size of Spain. You ever hear of Spain being a power? The thing about Russia.
Right.
The thing about Russia is that it's oriented its economy to producing military stuff. Right? That's why it's pretty advanced in military hardware. But the Russian economy essentially is a disaster if you take away oil. You're right.
And this is, and we've got maybe a minute or so before we let you go, and we definitely want to get your social media so that people, if maybe some of the listeners want to continue the conversation or have thoughts that they want to, or maybe become future students. I think Elif was a student of yours, and of course she speaks very highly of you and certainly learned quite a bit as well. When we talk about the North Korea situation, and that is really what we had to offer, at least one of the things that you look at, you put all of those, all the constraints and the tariffs and all of the restrictions that was that were on North Korea, and China helped out quite a bit with that. It made it difficult for them to do normal things, you know, conduct business, feed their people, all of those kind of things. And one of the things that the United States has to offer is support on the economic side and help them be able to, you know, participate in the world economy. And I don't know if you've given it a ton of thought, but if that ever happened down the road, and hopefully it's a short road on the disarmament side for the nuclear, is that, you know, what would North Korea be like? What kind of ways would they participate? I know they have a coast. Maybe there'd be some tourism. You heard President Trump talk about this would be a great place to build a hotel. So maybe he'll be there. But as far as either natural resources or ways to participate, what would you see, you know, North Korea's kind of path and role to
becoming? In principle, North Korea could be like South Korea, in principle, but it would have to change its economic system, so it's more like ours, a market economy, and probably have to change its political system. You can't have one guy who's a dictator who thinks he knows what he's doing. You don't always know what you're doing when you're talking about an economy. But North Korea's economy is like 1% or 2% of South Korea. It's a very small economy, as far as we know.
All right, and then Professor, go ahead and give out the information if people want to follow you. If you got any social, not sure that you do social media.
No, well, they can. The best is to get me on email, which is Lofficer, LOFFICER @uic.edu. That's the best way.
All right. Thanks, Professor. I appreciate you bearing through some of the technical stuff and enlightening the listeners with kind of, I think, a very unique perspective on the economic side all over the globe and specifically here in Canada. So thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on the show. Have a great 4th of July and belated Canada Day to you as well.
Thank you. Bye.
720 WGN. It is Dane here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland. This would be a great place to watch some fireworks. Nice job, Elif, on the bumper music. Very apropos as we get close to the 4th of July holiday. But I think this entire month, I think the time when they do a lot of the statistics goes from June 16th to July 16th, because you get out there, you got to buy them in advance. You're going to want to test some out and make sure that they work. And then you never have enough time to blow them all off. On the 4th of July. And so you kind of go through the rest of, or at least the middle of the month, kind of getting through some of your fireworks. The most important thing, obviously, is to be as safe as possible. And on the line with us, we've got Nikki Fleming. She's a spokesperson for the Consumer Product Safety Commission. And Nikki, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
So this is it. It's the time of year, when there is a lot of things happening, fireworks, a lot of, I guess, quote unquote, fun. We've gotten a lot of feedback on the opposite side, too, that they see it more as a problem, whether it's for themselves or pets or even just in, the neighborhoods, because for the most part, at least here in the Chicagoland area, most of the bigger, louder, kind of more spectacular fireworks are illegal. But this is a time of year where a lot of people are talking to you.
Yes, fireworks are synonymous with our celebration of Independence Day, yet the thrill of fireworks can also bring pain. In fact, CPSC just released our latest fireworks data, and we've had, in 2017, 8 firework-related deaths reported, with victims ranging in age from 4 to 57, with nearly 13,000 fireworks-related hospital emergency-treated injuries in 2017.
Here, you got that range, and I think that's one of the, 4th of July, everybody participates in this. This isn't like a kid's holiday or something that maybe people of another generation just support. Everybody gets out there and does it. You talk about the deaths, 8. It doesn't sound like, you always hear those statistics that more people, get hit or get, crushed by vending machines than are killed by sharks. Those kind of statistics that sort of surprise you. But from 4 to 57, what are they dying of? For 57, is it a heart attack from the excitement or the sound? Or are the fireworks themselves like killing the people?
No, actually, 5 out of the 8 deaths this year were to aerial devices. And unfortunately, a lot of it did have to do with firework misuse, launching it from on top of their head, or the device going off and hitting the person. So, again, sometimes consumer fireworks, and then we think about sparklers, the leading cause of injuries actually burns. More than 53% of the injuries were burns. Sparklers, may seem innocuous, but actually they burn at over 2,000 degrees. That's considered as hot as a blowtorch. So we want to remind consumers, if you're going to celebrate this holiday season, to celebrate safely and never allow a young child to handle a sparkler device.
This is sage advice, Nikki, and it seems, it's not funny, obviously, because people get hurt, but when you think about it, it seems common sense you wouldn't try to light some sort of giant firework off the top of your head. It seems like that would be common sense. Is it a lot of this, you get to the store, you've got to travel for it, and there really isn't a lot of documentation. For the fireworks that I've opened, there's not a lot of the safe care and handling of your fireworks or ways to do it. It usually seems pretty straightforward, right? You light one end of it and you hopefully stay away as far as possible. Is that part of the problem or things that you might want to see change, that there is more, I guess, education on the fireworks side?
Definitely, we want to, and that's one of the reasons we're giving this information now. The majority of our injuries and deaths do occur around the 30 days surrounding the 4th of July. So again, this is the time of year where consumers can take those extra precautions, and there are safety steps that they can take. And obviously, when you are shopping and looking for your devices, you are looking for that colorful package, not the package that's in a brown paper bag, has no kind of identifiable manufacturer information, that kind of thing. You want to avoid those. Probably are illegal or professional grade fireworks. So you never use or want to make a professional grade firework as well. That can be deadly.
Some of the key parts of fireworks are that makes a loud noise or an explosion or a boom or things like that. Have you seen, we've been in military conflicts for, a long time now here. Is there any of that where people are bringing back, more? I see some of the documentation, mortars or some, actual like real explosive devices that people are bringing back. Do you see people using those, trying to have fun with those in their backyard?
We are. We're seeing both consumer, even though a firework device may be a consumer firework and be legal in your area, it is important to know that it is dangerous and taking, again, safety precautions. So if you're, you do not buy or use fireworks that are packaged, again, in brown paper, this is often a sign that the fireworks were made for a professional display, and perhaps they have a shorter fuse, so they were meant to go off in a timely fashion by a professional. So again, as a consumer, you would not be able to identify that just by looking at the device, so you want to stay away from those. Make sure they're legal in your area. The laws are different in different areas of the country. Make sure you're starting with finding out what's really legal in your area before buying or using them. Make sure you're lighting fireworks one at a time and then move away from them quickly. It's also important to keep a bucket of water or garden hose handy in case of a fire or other mishap or a dud.
We did have some listeners kind of add that in, is that that's really what you need to do. It was a concern, right? What do you do when it doesn't go off and you want to know how long you're supposed to wait? And the thing is that you should probably put some water on it. We had some people kind of share that. You mentioned that the biggest source of injury is sparklers, and I think here in Illinois, in the Chicagoland area, that's one of the things that you can still get from either the local grocery store or drugstore or whatever is the sparklers. And I remember as a kid, we would sword fight with them, we would run around and chase each other with them, and when you think of it now as a parent of three kids under 11, is, you know, you're running around with a red hot molten piece of metal. You've got to figure if that actually touched you, you would be hurt.
Yes, again, legal doesn't always mean safe if you don't take precautions. And again, in particular with sparklers, consumers just aren't aware of the fact that they do burn as hot as a blowtorch at 2,000 degrees. So again, keeping that out of the hands of children is very important.
I want to let the listeners know, of course, we're talking with Nikki Fleming. She's a spokesperson for the Consumer Product Safety Commission, specifically on fireworks. Today, where does Illinois fit? You know, because we have, I think, pretty stringent laws about, you know, what kind of fireworks are available, where you can sell them, and we really don't have. We've got maybe those little kind of smoky snakes that stain the sidewalk and sparklers and some other things, maybe smoke bombs and things like that. You have to go to either Wisconsin to the north or Indiana to the south in order to get some things that are louder or do more things. Where does Illinois, in your opinion, and with the research and statistics, where does Illinois fit as far as access to fireworks?
Yes, actually CPSC, if you go to cpsc.gov/fireworks, we have our fireworks information page. We do have a fact sheet there where we list all the links to the individual states. So check it out and again, check to see what's actually legal in your area before making your purchases. And also it can come down to your local municipality. I know here also in the Washington, D.C. area surrounding Maryland and Virginia areas, it can be narrowed down to your local county as well. So really look in your own jurisdiction to see what requirements if you do plan to use them. And also one way to keep families safe is don't use fireworks at home. Instead, leave it to the professionals.
That's
and
right.
Attend a public fireworks display. That's another choice for families.
You can
well.
Get out and see them. And before we let you go, is there a state in America where there's just almost no rules? You know how you always hear in Montana, there's no speed limit. You can drive as fast as you want. Is there a state in the United States or the contiguous 48 where you can just do whatever you want, where they have very few laws when it comes to fireworks?
No, most of them either start all the way down from, you know, sparkler use only all the way up the gamut to a varying degree. So it does vary. Again, you'll have to look specifically for your state and locale, and you can do that on our website to be sure.
All right, nice.
And they can change.
Well, we'll have that listed at WGNradio.com. People can check out what's legal, what's not, where to get it, and, of course, all that safety information and those statistics that will keep you as safe as possible while you enjoy 4th of July. Nikki, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks, and everyone celebrate safely this holiday season.
WGN WGN live here in the Allstate Skyline Studios at 303 Wacker, in for John Williams for a handful of minutes here, and we're getting an earful of fireworks information, safety information. Hope everybody took all that kind of stuff down, right? You know, don't light a firework off your head. Don't run around with sparklers. That's for sure.
You can't light a firework off your head?
Not if you want to survive.
Stop taking the fun out of it. Yeah.
Throw it before it goes off.
If the person's small enough, throw them and the firework on their head before it goes off. Here's the thing, too, and Violetta, you had mentioned, too, is how do you know what's the time limit? You got the 5-second rule when it comes to a firework that hasn't gone off. When is that approachable kind of range of, like, I can get up there, get in there, grab a hold of it, and try again, right? Because you spent money on it.
You got to try again.
But we talked about the garden hose.
I would just let it die. I probably don't even risk it.
Well, the garden hose is one of those things to do it. But Jim is on the line from the 847. Jim, welcome to the show. You've got some thoughts.
Yeah, great show. I used to do neighborhood displays for people, so I kind of know a little bit about it. But fireworks are class A, class B, class C. Class B and class C are the stuff like you can buy in Indiana and Wisconsin and that. Class A, you have to have a license or you can get them illegally. The thing with the class A is, someone said to throw a bucket of water and hose it down. Class A are waterproof. So you can stick them in water. Once they've been lit, you can stick them in water. They'll still go off. So it's very dangerous. It's like you're dealing with dynamite. You have to be very, very... the one person just got through saying, let it lay, let it be. Don't mess with it. Check it out much later,
man.
After you're through messing with it.
I've heard of, now that you're making me think about it, you always had that crazy friend or somebody that had like quarter sticks of dynamite or something like that.
Yeah, right. Right.
And you were probably it, Jim. You were probably my crazy friend. Or C4, right? People have that stuff, some big explosive stuff.
Yeah, cherry bombs and M80s. M80s equivalent to a quarter stick of dynamite.
Wow. Okay.
See? It will take your fingers.
All right. We've got to keep my fingers away from it. I appreciate it, Jim. Enjoy the 4th safely, and thanks for the insight.
All right. Good show.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
My uncle's got half a right middle finger thanks to a M80.
Really?
Yep.
Now, how did it happen? Because
this is what he did. This is what you should not do. If you are going to actually light it holding it, just flick it. He basically was like throwing it like a windup.
Oh.
So his hand went back. His hand went forward minus half his middle finger. Emergency room.
Oh, my God.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Wow. Just stick to those little poppers you throw at the sidewalk.
Those are fun.
They still sell those, right?
Snakes. You want to get crazy? Light some snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the snakes were always kind of...
They're so lame.
Yeah, and then they stay in the sidewalk forever and everybody complains.
You think it's going to do something and then it's like, oh, it's over?
So that's it? So it's just going to move around? That's the snake?
Yeah, that's it, right? And then the smoke bombs with different colors. I mean, it's just...
I like smoke bombing people.
And then moms always like the fountains. Light the fountain! I love the fountains!
Is that your impression of your mom?
Yes, kind of. My mom and my aunt. When the fountains? When are we lighting those?
We think about this. This is where sports comes into play here, is responsible celebration. And you see places like Philadelphia where they climb...
Yeah, they destroy their own city after winning a Super Bowl,
right? You're gonna light things on fire and riot or climb the light poles or break things, and you don't want to turn over cars. The responsible way to celebrate is and can be with fireworks, and there are some fireworks I think from the Magic Johnson camp, right, when he was giving himself one more year to succeed, where he's finally bought himself maybe a little bit of time, as well as one of the more expensive and talented players of all time with LeBron James. Kevin, your thoughts on this? What does this do to the, because it's almost like rent a place in the finals, right? I mean, it really pays dividends when you have LeBron.
Yeah, well, it completely changes the outlook of the entire league, because for a while it was just Golden State in the West, and then LeBron James owned the East, whether he's with Cleveland or the Miami Heat. Casey Johnson from the Tribune had a good piece about the nightmares that Bulls fans are still having because the Bulls couldn't get past LeBron in the postseason. Remember those years with Tibbs and Derrick Rose and no one? Those were really good Bulls teams, but they weren't good enough to get past LeBron. And look, this city knows all about that. Michael Jordan was, for a decade, if you wanted to win anything, you had to try to get past him, and nobody could in the 90s. So Bulls fans understand that aspect. But basically, wherever LeBron went in the East, and you could pretty much put LeBron right now on any team in the Eastern Conference, and he's probably going, at minimum, he's going to the Eastern Conference semifinals,
right,
or the Eastern Conference finals, I should say. He's probably going to the NBA finals. Now he moves to the West, where Golden State is and Houston Rockets are. The three best teams in all of basketball right now are the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Rockets. I don't care what the rest of the Lakers roster looks like. They're already one of the top three teams in the NBA. In my opinion, some might make an argument for Boston. Philly is an ascending team as well, but I think it actually makes the league a little juicier. I think it's a little more interesting. It sort of feels like to me, and I say this in all sports, really, it's like in baseball. It's good for baseball when the Cubs are good or the Yankees are good or the Red Sox are good. In the NBA, it's good if the Bulls are good or if the Lakers are good. Those are iconic international brands. That's right. Good for basketball. And I think this is probably LeBron's final stop in his career.
He's in one of those places that you can have really, I think, a great lifestyle. Certainly they've got...
embed yourself into the celebrity style and cement your legacy there. He's going to know everyone. He's already, of course, an international star, but LA is a whole different story. I mean, it's the celebrity capital of the world.
It seems like a fit for him. And you mentioned like his impact where he can almost single-handedly just propel that team into relevance. Is this where we're going to see is it going to be the yearly like Golden State-LeBron matchup? It's just going to happen in the conference finals now?
Well, you know, don't count out Houston. Remember, Houston went seven games with Golden State this past postseason. That's a really good team. And some people had speculated that LeBron was going to go there because if you put him with James Harden and Chris Paul on that roster, they probably do beat Golden State in the West. But, you know, I think those three teams, and I think, you know, everybody, and the Rockets said this last year, and I think it actually is good for the NBA when you do have a team like the Warriors. I know that sounds crazy. I mean, for the past couple of years, it sort of turned me off from the league a little bit because I basically knew who was going to win the championship. But this sort of feels a little different now with LeBron, with the Lakers. That's a iconic franchise. And then there's going to be some juicy matchups all season between Golden State, LA, and Houston. And the East now has become a lot more interesting because teams like Boston and Philly and certainly the Bulls in just a year or two when they're an ascending team, the East is wide open. And that's like a blank canvas right there. We're going to see where the East develops into over the next couple of years.
You mentioned that it's kind of turned you off from like just that whole repetitive nature of these matchups happening again and again. And I kind of fall into that same camp. So it's nice to see some other teams have a chance and get in there. But here's the debate that really has kind of raged as LeBron has, you know, as you look at the statistics and as he passes one milestone after another and as he puts his team in the finals, whether he wins or he loses, I think that's kind of where we come down. But it's that whole greatest of all time conversation. Yeah. You get people who didn't experience, a little younger, didn't experience the whole Jordan years, right?
I wish the sports media would debate more who's better, LeBron or MJ, because you just don't get that in the media these days, Dane. It's just never ending. It's like, whatever. It's impossible to compare the two. They're both incredible in their own right. I would say Michael Jordan's the best winner of all time because he's 6-0 in the finals. Never going to be able to deny that. LeBron James is an athletic specimen like we've never seen. He's more athletically gifted than Michael Jordan. That's not a knock on Jordan. I mean, it's genes. It's science. What LeBron James is a moving freight train. He's unlike any player we've seen and probably will see in the NBA. So they're both great. They're the two best players of all time. Whatever I say here is not going to change anybody's opinion anyways. It's going to be, you're either in the Jordan camp or the LeBron camp. Nothing is going to change that for anybody.
And I think you can make a case regardless of where you come down on it. And so this is where the Kevin Powell acumen comes into effect is I think what you look at is you can only play the people in front of you, right?
Exactly.
And so,
these are hypotheticals. When you're trying to match them up, they're hypotheticals that we'll never know for sure. So it's an endless debate, and that's why it's perfect for the 24-hour sports media cycle.
Do you feel the competition is different, right? Do you feel that or do you think that just like everything
you mean
else,
individual talent wise throughout the league, are there better players? Is that what you mean?
Well, were the teams that
I think the style of the NBA is so much different now. It's such a fast paced game. I'm a Jordan junkie, a Bulls junkie. I'll go back and watch full NBA Finals games like in '98, and it's just such a different style of basketball. It's pretty wild. Where now it's just run and gun and shoot the three. That's the NBA right now, for better or for worse.
We had a caller text in from, that would make them a texter, 708, about how about the outrageous salary he's going to be getting. I would say, unlike, you know, you look at a Yu Darvish or any of those other kind of things that are gambles out there in the sports world, LeBron James is like the most guaranteed, you're going to get your money
four
back.
4 years, $154 million, and it's more than almost wins and losses. It's almost a marketing move as well for the Lakers. You just enhanced your brand.
Doesn't it put them right? It puts them back in that whole
in
kind
the
of
NBA
showtime.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, they're going to be competing for championships now. We haven't seen that since, you know, the backstretch of Kobe's career. It's kind of been this dead period in L.A., so LeBron's going to completely revitalize the Lakers.
Okay. All right, so as you're going to sit there and watch some of the old reruns of those Bulls championships on the 4th of July, of course, because you're here.
Yes, that's all I'll be doing.
And Kevin, you're, as we all know, a noted foodie as well. People want to know. We know that you're going to be participating in the fireworks world responsibly at all times. Mm-hmm. What are you going to be grilling? What does Kevin Powell eat? What does he do food-wise on 4th of July?
Well, I was just scrolling through the Jewel Osco flyer, the weekly ad, and they've got some pretty incredible deals on some bone-in T-bone steaks as well as New York strip steaks, and I haven't had a bone in a while. I've done a lot of ribeye, mixed in a filet last week, and I just need a good hearty steak with the bone in. I'm going bone in this week for the 4th, Dane.
Meats can be no-brainers. The sides, I think, really can set things off.
Sides
as well.
For me, I go very traditional. You go on beans, potato salad, all those sorts of things that you would expect on an American 4th of July holiday. One of my, in my current holiday power rankings, by the way, 4th of July is right there near the top.
Nice.
Right there with Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Really? Right up there, huh?
It's right up there.
Well, you're a patriot. That's
I'm
right.
I'm a patriot. And I like American to eat. And I like fireworks.
Well, Kevin, thanks so much for jumping in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
I'm out. Pete's in.
Thanks a lot.
We're calling it Pete from the bullpen. I'm out.
Great to see you, buddy.
All right, good to see you too, Pete. I'll be back for the hot dog eating contest.
Last night.
That was fun. Pete's organized a hot dog eating contest, Dane, so stand by for that.
Oh, my gosh, really?
There is a competitive eater that lives west. I think he lives in Naperville. His name is Juan Morbite Rodriguez. And he competes in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest every single year in New York City.
Is the middle name Pete, is that just an amazing career coincidence, kind of like an Amy Freeze, or is that something on the marketing side?
I miss Amy Freeze.
Was he recently at the Sox game? Because they did I was covering the Sox game, and I look up on the big video board they have it on center. There's clearly this guy's a professional eater. He's doing the thing where they snap it in half, dip it in the water, and then shove it down.
Yeah.
That might have been him.
Maybe. I don't know. You can ask him today.
I'm going to ask Juan. That'll be my first question.
But that's the thing. Are you going to dip? Because we're having a contest today.
Yeah. Whoa.
At 3:50.
Have you ever done one of those? Because I've heard you got to kind of build up to that.
I haven't eaten anything today.
I haven't eaten myself too.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to lose.
I ate.
Well, Violetta, you have no chance anyways. I mean, Violetta's going to eat half a hot dog and be full.
But are you going to snap the hot dog and put it in water?
I don't think so. I don't like doing the fast eating. That's my problem.
Well, Juan Morbite Rodriguez does.
Well,
if I've been drinking at a Cub game for 12 hours and it's 1 in the morning, I can eat anything.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
Super quick.
That's the way to do it.
Yes.
Thanks, Daner.
Yep, thanks, Kevin. And Pete, last thing, fireworks, 4th of July. Are you pro-fireworks? Are you against fireworks? Are you wearing a Thunder shirt?
Who's against fireworks?
A lot of people. 312-981-7200. People, they had the anti-fireworks lobby come in, and not everyone was excited about them.
What?
Yeah, I know. Well, you can deal with that.